Broadcasting and Digital Outdoor.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Greg Clugston in Washington. Retail sales were down slightly last month as Americans cut back on spending. October's 0.1% decline ended six straight months of gains, though the decline was partly driven by falling prices for both gasoline and cars. Congress has taken a step toward averting a government shutdown at the end of the week.
The bill cleared the GOP-led House with broad bipartisan support, which it needed after Republican leaders decided to bring the bill to the floor under a procedural move that required a two-thirds majority to pass rather than a simple majority.
Correspondent Edwin Morris says the Senate is expected to approve the funding by week's end. The Homeland Security Secretary and FBI Director are testifying on Capitol Hill this morning. At the start of the hearing, House Homeland Security Committee Chairman Mark Green took aim at the Biden administration's handling of the southern border.
In just 3 years, the administration has systematically dismantled our nation's border security and created the worst border crisis in American history.
Green went on to say that the lack of border security has benefited drug cartels immensely. The Israeli military raided Gaza's largest hospital today, conducting what it called a targeted operation against Hamas. President Biden and Chinese President Xi Jinping are set to meet face-to-face later today in California.
We anticipate that the leaders will discuss some of the most fundamental elements of the U.S.-PRC bilateral relationship, including the continued importance of strengthening open lines of communication and managing competition responsibly so that it does not veer into conflict.
National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan. Nearly 9 out of 10 parents believe their child is performing at grade level despite standardized tests showing far fewer students are on track. More at townhall.com.
The government is spying on you. No surprise, I know. But did you know the banks are helping them? And did you know that withdrawing your cash from the bank can be very risky? That's right. Let Swiss America educate you about this. Banks are now required to spy on us for the government, and they report any behavior they think is suspicious. You'll be shocked when you read The Secret War on Cash from Swiss America. This new war against cash is really a war against the Constitution, against all freedom-loving Americans. You must read The Secret War on Cash. Get your free copy by calling or texting 800-266-6082. That's 800-266-6082. This war on cash is growing daily, and it also includes all forms of digital money. So please, get and read The Secret War on Cash free by calling or texting right now at 800-266-6082. That's 800-266-6082. Message and data rates may apply.
This is your KMTQ News Flash. A temporary Formula One traffic relief measure could in fact become a permanent fix. Word is now talks are going on between race leaders, Clark County, and the Las Vegas Convention and Visitor Authority to build a permanent overpass at Koval and Flamingo. LVCVA President and CEO Steve Hill says that temporary bridge has been so successful in moving resort corridor traffic that local leaders are thinking about building a permanent bridge. Along with that idea, one set of grandstands that have been put up for this weekend's inaugural race probably won't come down. Grandstands nearest to Formula One's $500 million paddock. That's where the race will start and finish on Saturday night. Secondary ticket seller StubHub says the Formula One Las Vegas Grand Prix is one of the top-selling global events of the year. The inaugural Las Vegas race is easily the best-selling F1 race of the year for StubHub, with the average price for a three-day ticket going for $2,100. StubHub officials say half of the ticket sales have come since the Rio Grand Prix that happened on November 5th. California race fans account for 32% of those secondary ticket sales, with Nevada in at second place at just 9%, the cheapest three-day pass, listed at $846. And downtown Summerlin not waiting to get into the Christmas spirit until after Thanksgiving. Its holiday parade, its annual holiday parade, returning on Friday, beginning Friday, yes, November 17th. The parade will be held every Friday and Saturday night at 6 from November 17th to December 16th. That will run along Park Center Drive. The parade includes holiday music, dancers, Snow White, and of course, jolly old Saint Nick himself, Santa Claus, also setting up shop at the Santa Chalet and the Macy's Promenade daily through Christmas Eve. Oh, oh, oh. Take AM 670 with you wherever you go. Check out our website at 670kmzq.com. Click on that Listen Live button.
it kind of set me back a little bit education-wise.
I think personally it just changed the way I looked at medicine.
As a people, we have to work together.
Health is a right for all.
We get through it together.
We can find common ground.
We are resilient.
Adaptable.
COVID taught us health matters.
Health matters. Visit nmhec.org. This message funded by a grant through the Nevada Department of Health and Human Services, Office of Minority Health and Equity and Air Cooperation by the Nevada Broadcasters Association and the station.
Dad, I picked up your pills, made your lunch, and your laundry is done.
When you care for a loved one, you take care of everything. But are you taking care of yourself? Find free care guides at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
KMCQ on time traffic. It's powered by Meineke Car Centers. Stop in today and get a synthetic blend oil change for only $34.95.
Got a couple of minor accidents on our Valley freeways right now. One of them in the downtown Las Vegas area at the Spaghetti Bowl, 95 northbound at 15. Not seeing a lot of backup to go with that. Looks better in Henderson, too, on the Beltway. Had an accident on 215 eastbound at Green Valley Parkway. That was blocking the right side of the freeway. Now it's all confined at the right shoulder, so looking better on 215 eastbound approaching Green Valley Parkway. New accident of the surface streets, west side intersection of Desert Inn and Torrey Pines. Good chance of rain early this evening after 5 o'clock. Cloudy and cool up until then with afternoon temperatures in the mid to low 70s. We're at 55 right now. I'm Mark Thomas with your on-time traffic and weather on AM 670 KMZQ.
The best way to get something done, if it holds near and dear to you, that you like to be able to, anyway. America is a nation that can be defined in a single word. I was going to put him.
Check it out.
And Joan, Shingang, I'm going to pass her. Shanga.
Can I just say that of all the idiots? In all the idiot villages, in all the idiot worlds, you stand alone.
Number one, time is running out. Number two, time is running out. Number three, time is running out. Number four.
Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Wall.
Hour number two, live and local. Good to have you with us. Kevin Wall with you until 9 o'clock. Clay and Buck, of course, at 9. This time next week, next Tuesday, Aaron Phillips is going to be guest hosting while I'm away for the week, getting an early start on Thanksgiving. Aaron Phillips, if you don't know, is the president and co-founder of Power to Parent Union, and she joins us now. Aaron, thank you so much for filling in for me next Tuesday. I'm real excited about it. I can't wait to find out what it is you're going to be doing for a day.
Oh, man. Well, I'm really excited, and I'm just surprised that you would trust me for your whole show. So thank you.
No, but I mean, you are into so many different issues with Power to Parent Union that I wanted to give you a platform for an entire morning to talk about the things that matter to you. Have any feel for what you'll be talking about?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I think we're going to talk a little bit this morning about a couple of things, but you know, there's so many issues right now going on with our kids and families that are affecting our kids, you know, and, you know, we have this giant issue right now with bullying and violence. There's been a data leak, you know, and a massive data leak that has happened in the Clark County School District. You know, there's so many things that we need to talk about: education, school choice, the right for parents to really be able to educate their kids, raise their kids when they see fit. You know, those are the issues that are near and dear to my heart. And so we're definitely going to be going into some of those issues.
I want to ask you about the cyber security. Has the Board of Trustees, has the administration, has Jesus Jara been honest with parents and students about the seriousness of what's going on?
You know, I don't know that has happened, to be totally honest. You know, I mean, what we're seeing, and we're actually excited to announce a new partnership this week. Can't announce it yet, but today or tomorrow we'll be announcing a new partnership.
Oh, darn it.
I know.
Come on.
I know, we just missed the window. But we want to, we recognize the severity of the issue in regards to having so many students' data stolen, their identities stolen, all of their personal information, you know, and so you know, I don't think that the district has been upfront about what's really gone on. Parents have been told that they would receive a letter in the mail if their student's identity was stolen. No parents have received that, as far as we know. There's a class action lawsuit now against the school district, you know, because it seems to be that there may have been some negligence in regards to updating systems and security systems and things like that. So, yeah, I don't think we know the full extent of it. I don't think CCSD has released that information. And I think parents are just being left in the dark and hoping that their child's data wasn't stolen. And meanwhile, we don't know. And so there's like 315,000 kids in the school district, I believe. So, you know, any number of those kids could have, any or all of them could have had their identities stolen. So, yeah, so we are actually going to be doing something really proactive. And so if people are listening and may want to know what that is, they need to get on our website later today and sign up for a special offer that we're going to provide for families. And also just sign up for our newsletter, because we just started an awesome newsletter that's going to be coming out every month with so much great information just to continue to empower families. So all that's important. Sign up for our emails so that you can have all of that information.
If you watch TV or you read the RJ, you know that there have been a number of stories just recently, just in the last couple of weeks, relative to bullying, violence in and around our schools. I thought, and maybe I missed something, that we had taken measures and policies to eliminate bullying, to eliminate the violence on our campuses. Is that not happening, or did it ever happen?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I think here's a couple of problems. You know, we have COVID, right? And before COVID, there was already increases in violent behavior and bullying prior to COVID. I think COVID lit that on fire. Kids were isolated at home. They weren't learning. They were spending more and more time online. And so we've seen this uptick since sort of, you know, really since the iPhone, the invention and the introduction of the iPhone, the uptick in violent behavior, the uptick in mental health issues for young teenagers, young kids. And so, you know, this is such a multi-layered problem. But I think what happened over COVID and was just so horrific for our kids, and this is what, you know, we were shouting from the rooftops, that our kids needed to be in schools, they needed to not be isolated, you know, and what was happening in the news, what was happening on social media was really hurting our kids the most. And so we saw a huge increase in suicide for kids and teenagers during that time. You know, our organization highlighted that. The New York Times did a big article on that. So there's so many issues with these kids that came really out of COVID. But at the same time, there was these unintended consequences, which, you know, we wanted these policies not to be put in place, again, where certain students, certain groups of students were not being punished for certain behaviors. Teachers were feeling like they couldn't even teach in their own classrooms because they had so many restrictions on, you know, what types of students couldn't be suspended or couldn't be, you know, expelled for certain behavior. Certain violent behavior wasn't being taken seriously. And I think finally, you know, there was a consensus from the unions and the teachers and the administrative unions, all these people and the parents, that we needed to have more severe consequences for the violent behaviors that were being perpetrated on campuses. There had to be consequences. And so I think we swung kind of in the wrong direction that way. And then this last legislative session, there was a bill to correct that. But even in the bill to correct it, you know, Democrats really watered that bill down. The governor had a smaller bill that had more consequences involved with what would be required for students with violent behavior on campus. And the Democrats took that bill and watered it down and then passed a lesser version of it. So, you know, what we're just seeing is again, there's no consequences for a lot of the behavior that's happening. You have kids with mental health issues who are being radicalized or being, you know, just led astray by social media. And then really, I mean, obviously, I'm coming from a parent standpoint myself and a parental rights organization. Parents are a massive influence on their kids. And what has happened is that we have been told as parents that we are not the experts, that we aren't the ones that should be parenting our kids, that we should leave that job up to the experts. And the experts are the, you know, quote unquote, teachers, principals, lawmakers, psychologists, people who are choosing curriculum, people who are putting inappropriate books in our schools, people who are saying that our kids need to be learning about socialism and Marxism and all of this. You know, we have DEI policies and SEL policies and all these things that are supposed to be helping our kids. And what's happening? It's not helping. It's only making the behavior worse. It's only making the kids worse. And so I think we need to take a step back from all of this and really look ourselves in the mirror and say, are we being the parents that we are supposed to be for our kids? Are we giving our kids a moral foundation? And are we or are we delegating that job to people who have been calling themselves experts?
Again, Erin Phillips joining us, the president and co-founder of Power to Parent Union. She'll be filling in for me next Tuesday. And a name that I'm pretty sure will show up somewhere along the 3 hours, and that is the name of Jesus Jara. More calls for him to step down. We've got the teachers union. We've got all kinds of folks that are calling for his resignation or firing. Do you see him leaving office anytime soon?
Well, no, I don't. And I'm actually hoping that he'll come on the show with me. We'll see if he has an opportunity to do that. But I think that he made that really clear in the statement that he replied to the speaker that essentially said, I think you need to kind of clean up your own side of the street before you come after me in regards to some, you know, serious corruption that's happened in the Democrat side of the legislature. So, you know, I thought that was an interesting statement because, you know, there's a lot that's happening in this state. And I think it was an interesting perspective. But yeah, he has no intention of stepping down. He made that very clear.
Is it going to take an election to change members of the school board, the board of trustees, to get something done on this?
Yeah, I mean, it is going to take an election. But I mean, as you know, for years, there's been an issue in this county and really in the state as a whole with school board races who, you know, there's one party that invests in school board races and helps fundraise and puts money towards those races, and that party wins. And it's not the Republicans. And so, unfortunately, until a Republican can do a better job at putting resources towards these school board races and recognizing the importance of these school board races, you know, we're really not going to see a lot of change happen. There was a bill that was passed in this last session that allows the cities, the incorporated cities, to have an appointed trustee. And that, you know, was something that we were not super in favor of. But it will be interesting to see if we can get a few extra voices on that board and really allow those people to be able to put some things on the agenda and maybe just add an extra layer of accountability for the trustees. So, you know, I'll be interested to see if that is beneficial at all. But absolutely, it's going to take an election. And until, you know, conservative parents, conservative business owners, you know, are recognize the importance of these school board issues and start putting their money where their mouth is, then we won't really see anything change. You know, we'll just kind of see maybe a few people replaced for people with similar values.
I want to ask you because I love this when it comes around every year, and that's Giving Tuesday. You folks at Power to Parent Union are going to be a part of Giving Tuesday. Can you talk a little bit about what it is and how it is and how it's going to help your organization and others like it?
Yeah, so Giving Tuesday is just it's a national movement to encourage people to give and invest in their community and, you know, specifically in nonprofit organizations that are doing work in their community to make the community a better place. And, you know, I think that we absolutely would fall into that category. We've done Giving Tuesday for a number of years, and, you know, we're always excited for an opportunity to help give the community as a whole an opportunity to give to Power to Parent, because what we're doing is so important and, you know, bringing so many different programs to our community that we really believe are empowering parents. And we know that when parents are empowered and they are parenting their children, they're doing their job, we see the benefits of that in our community as a whole. So we see that, you know, we do see a decrease in mental health issues. We see a decrease in school violence and violence in general. We see an increase in graduation rates and success in schools. The number one indicator for success in school is an involved parent. So, you know, there's all of these incredible issues that we think that parents have the opportunity to be making our city, our state, our world a better place. And so Power to Parent wants to give everyone an opportunity to partner with us to do that. And I think Giving Tuesday is a great opportunity for all of us to do that.
Okay. When can people become involved with Giving Tuesday and Power to Parent Union?
So we're already posting about Giving Tuesday. You know, want to make sure people know what's coming up, that we are participating, help them just kind of plan that out. So head to our website, and you can find a link on our website, all of our social media channels, which is, you know, they're all the same, at Power to Parent, Power with the number to Parent. And our website is power2parent.org. And so find us on there. Again, sign up for our newsletter. You know, we do it once a month. We send out, you know, a lot of really great information through that, but we'll be sending an email also about Giving Tuesday. We'd love to just get more people involved. I always say this on your show, we're building a parent army with parents, grandparents, involved community members, business owners, and we need everyone to join.
Erin, it's going to be fun listening to you next Tuesday. Thank you so much for filling in for me. I appreciate it. And you have fun, okay? And
okay, well, you too.
And by the way, I want you to have a great Thanksgiving. Are you cooking, by the way?
Yes, I'm cooking. I love cooking. It's my favorite holiday.
Oh, there you go. Erin, thank you so much. We'll be listening on Tuesday, okay?
Awesome. Thanks, Kevin.
Erin Phillips, the president and co-founder of Power to Parent Union. They're going to be talking about a lot of stuff about your kids, about your families, and students. There's so much to talk about. So, I mean, we covered just a couple of issues there, but she'll have a full 3-hour show for you next Tuesday. Stay with us. More to do as we continue on AM 670 KMZQ.
Debunking both liberal and conservative rhetoric. Dan Bongino, weekdays from noon to 3 on AM 670 KMZQ. Talk radio done right.
You know, I've heard the local small business community just loves the DLC. Why is that, Chuck?
Look, small businesses have one goal. That's to get new customers and keep current customers. But sometimes their customers are short on money. That's where we come in. Vets, doctors, dentists, apartment complexes, auto repair shops. Really, any small business that sells anything can send their customers to us.
And you hook their customers up with the cash they need. Brilliant. No wonder they send their customers to Dollar Loan Center.
We're also the perfect place to send your employees when they hit you up for an advance on their paycheck or a loan.
That was Chuck. And to celebrate 25 years in business, he's offering free loans to all new customers. No fee to apply and a week of free interest. Apply over the phone or online at don'tbebroke.com. Your first loan is free in 2023 at the DLC.
Free loan means if you pay off your loan in 1 week or less, the interest is free. You are still required to repay the principal amount. Licensed by the Data Financial Institutions Division. Customer must meet the normal loan qualifications. To review loan qualifications, visit us at don'tbebroke.com. Certain limitations may apply. Loans are subject to approval.
You support transparency in government, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, there are tax dollars, right?
So when local governments decide how much to, say, pay police officers or when they set the salaries for teachers, you think those discussions should be open to the public, right?
Oh, yeah, actually, I'd like to be in that meeting to give my two cents.
Well, what if I told you that currently, when local governments meet with union leaders to have those discussions, it all happens behind closed doors?
What? What do you mean, behind closed doors?
In Nevada, public sector union negotiations are exempt from the state's open meeting laws. The entire process is closed to the public. Even as a public employee, you would not be allowed to see what they're negotiating.
Wow. How much we're going to pay teachers and police seems like a pretty big discussion to keep hidden from taxpayers.
Better government begins with more transparency, not less. Visit NevadaPolicy.org to find out more. This has been a public service announcement from the Nevada Policy Research Institute, a 501c3 nonprofit.
When was your last trip to the dentist? Has it been a few years? 5 years? More? Hey, Kevin Wall here. For years, I went without dental care, and then I found Dr. Joe Willardson at True Dentistry. Dr. Joe and his caring staff converted me from a scared, high-anxiety patient to one that breezes through exams. Whether it's been years since your last dental visit, or if you just haven't found a good dentist in Vegas yet, I hope you'll do what I did. Call True Dentistry, 702-434-4800. The number again, 702-434-4800.
402-434-4800. Right now, True Dentistry is offering a free smile simulation to all new patients. A $150 value, absolutely free. Be sure to use your annual insurance benefits before the end of the year. True Dentistry has two convenient Valley locations in the Southwest and in Summerlin. Call 702-434-4800. That's 434-4800. Or check them out at TrueDentistry.com. And tell them Kevin Wall sent you.
Hey friends, it's Patrick Casale, the MultiCare Group. With the difficulty in finding quality employees to ensure your business thrives, I have a solution for you. Offer employee benefits. Benefits are 100% tax deductible to the employer, income tax free to the employees and dependents, can be used nationally, and are far more robust than any other individual plan being offered. The MultiCare Group can help you obtain affordable quality health benefits. We have access to association health plans that offer multiple options, attractive rates for you and your employees, with national access and the finest hospitals and physicians in United States. Call the MultiCare Group today for your no-obligation quote, 702-396-9449. We have access to all the carriers that offer health insurance, dental coverage, vision care, group life and disability insurance. Allow our relationships to guarantee you the most competitive rates. The MultiCare Group can provide you with all these services, plus we can offer payroll services at the most competitive rates, along with the best workers' compensation programs available in the country. Call Patrick Casale of the MultiCare Group today, 702-396-9449.
Broadcasting live from the world-famous Las Vegas Strip, this is Live and Local with Kevin Wall on AM 670 KMZQ. Talk radio done right.
Yeah, we talked earlier about how the pro-Israel rally yesterday, the National Mall, brought a lot of different people together, Republicans and Democrats, and even candidates for president. Ron DeSantis, for instance, agrees with Donald Trump on Middle Eastern immigration. I was shocked by that, but it is true. Let's go to cut one. This is Governor Ron DeSantis of Florida.
We aren't bringing in anyone from Gaza, Syria, Somalia, Yemen, or Libya, or anywhere else that threatens our security. Next, we'll implement strong ideological screening of all immigrants to the United States. No longer will we allow dangerous lunatics, haters, bigots, and maniacs to get residency in our country. We're not going to let them stay here.
Do you agree with those sentiments, some of them, part of it?
Well, I was the first one to say no Gaza refugees as a presidential candidate. And I've also said that because if you look at some of the student protests, places like MIT have said those have been driven by students on foreign visas. And I said very clearly as president, I'm canceling those visas and sending them home if they're making common cause with Hamas. You do not have a right to come to this country as a foreigner. It is a privilege to be able to come to this country as a foreigner. We need to look to Europe to see what they've done wrong in the past 10 or 15 years, where you now have massive numbers of people that basically reject Western values and are bringing a lot of this anti-Semitism to the fore. So part of the thing with the Gaza refugees, people said, well, they're not all members of Hamas. Yeah, they're not all members of Hamas. That's true. But if you look at what they teach the kids there, they teach them to hate Jews. The textbooks don't have Israel on the map. They teach them that Israel should be destroyed. So it's a toxic culture. And I think any of these societies that have those toxic cultures, I would not want to import people into the United States. I would also say that if you want to come to the United States, you've got to subscribe to the founding principles of this country, and you've got to want to assimilate into this country.
How do you prove
and
that?
And if that is
the
not in order, then you're just not going to get in.
Pardon me for interrupting. The former president said he would do ideological testing to figure out the answers to the questions that you just raised. Would you do that?
I think that that may be difficult. I mean, what I would say is, if you have a country that has a culture that's hostile to kind of the American way of life, I would just say don't bring in people from that country. I think it's hard to parcel out who's kind of a freedom fighter, who may be somebody that doesn't have good intentions coming to the country. So I would err on the side of caution. I would have it be a high bar for people to be able to come if there's a risk of any type of security. But I think to say this person's good, that person's not, I would just say, look, if you're from like Gaza, that's why I said Gaza. I just don't want to mess with that. And so we're just not going to do it. I don't think you can separate in a place like that. I think you just say, you know what, we're not going to do it. And you know what? Their neighbors don't do that. Egypt won't take. Saudi won't that's take. True. Jordan won't take. So we just need to be conscious of what we're importing. And we should not be importing any problems. Anyone that comes into this country should be a benefit to the American people and the American way.